It is gone. Nick Prado hits his first big league hop up and eaten by Chris Jones.
Here's Jay Binkley.
And welcome in. Rough one for the Kansas City Chiefs as they fall to the Colts 20-17. And we've said that before, but the Kansas City Chiefs fall to the Colts today 20-17. The Bucks that are trailing the Packers by two are the Chiefs' next opponent next Sunday night. I'm Jay Binkley along with Jed Marshall, producing the operation. Get to your phone calls here in just a bit. Hear from Pete Sweeney. We'll hear from the locker room. You name it. For the next couple hours, we'll talk about the Chiefs' loss today in Indianapolis. And really, this was one of those games. And they have these games from time to time, but a lot of times we see them coming out of it and winning these games. Remember Detroit a few years ago? Didn't play well at all. Ended up winning the game. Yeah, they're going to take their losses. Everybody loses. Chargers got hammered today by the Jags at home. The Raiders sit as the only 0-3 football team in the National Football League. And, well, the Denver Broncos have a chance to lose tonight, again, on Sunday Night Football. So we'll see what happens. The Buffalo Bills lost today as well, but you don't expect this from the Kansas City Chiefs because it was a sloppy game all the way around for the Chiefs. Dave Tobe's special teams are usually good. Special teams are usually the one thing with the Chiefs that you rely on because it is one third of the game. That muffed punt in the first quarter by Sky Moore led to an Indianapolis touchdown. He got caught. They had the roof open in Indy. It's a dome, but they had the roof open, you name it, got it lost in the lights or the sun, whatever it was. He couldn't handle it. Then the second time, it looked rough on it. Bad mistake, poor mistake. You can't make those kind of mistakes. McCole Hardman, a little bit banged up, so they want to, you know, try to preserve him. So Sky Moore, who's the number two punt returner and kick returner for this team, was back there. A missed extra point by Amendola. That was probably his last time in the Kansas City Chiefs uniform. Mixed extra points, so Kansas City trailed 7-6 in the game. Then a failed fake field goal in the fourth quarter, where it was 10 yards just to get the first down, and Tommy Townsend threw the ball. And Andy Reid, after the game, said that that was a mistake there, that a missed field goal in the fourth quarter. All these things come back to bite the Chiefs, left 4 points off the board. Then, of course, there's the Chris Jones untimely penalty on third down. The Colts took a loss, and he said something. It was really weird. It was really weird because he didn't push Matt Ryan. He was just talking to him and said things. It's rare that you see a penalty just by words, but it happened. And Chris Jones gets a penalty, prolongs the drive of the Indianapolis Colts. They come down, get a game-winning touchdown against the Chiefs, where the Chiefs sat there with full timeouts on the clock. Again, this is clock management. Didn't use any timeouts towards the end, so it limited the time that Patrick Mahomes had at the end of the game, which we all know he doesn't need much. We remember the 13 seconds we became the Grim Reaper against the Bills. But today was one of those days, and the Colts were primed to beat. This is not a good football team, the Colts. Jonathan Taylor, you name it, the running game on both teams wasn't that good today. And that goes for the Chiefs as well. The line protection was bad. Yes, Mahomes only sacked one time, but the line wasn't good today for the Kansas City Chiefs whatsoever. But the special teams are what haunted them and the Chris Jones penalty. And they just weren't crisp. I mean, running the football, they couldn't run the football and set the tempo. Again, that's the offensive line. Mahomes scrambling around too much. I thought the offensive line had their worst game of the year. It was very comparable to what happened at the beginning of last year when they were losing games. Rushing the football, they ended up with just 58 yards. Mahomes actually led the way, 4 carries, 26 yards. McKinnon, 7-for-20. It's not a good average. Clyde, 7 carries, no yards. On the flip side, Indy, only 82 yards rushing. Jonathan Taylor, 21 carries, 71 yards. I thought at times Matt Ryan looked bad in this game. I thought the defense for the Chiefs played well. I mean, it was the better of the three units as the offense struggled and sputtered, and they really just need that big play. Mahomes had overthrown MVS when he went down the field, but nothing was sharp and nothing was crisp, and this was kind of on the whole team. I know we can look at special teams, isolate that, and Amendola, the kicker. I'll be honest with you. Justin Reed, the safety, is just as good a kicker as Amendola. He really is. At least he kicks the ball to the end zone and they have touchbacks. And we've seen him miss one extra point. So Amendola missed an extra point today and a field goal that was 34 yards. That's a 33-yarder with the extra point and 34-yard field goal. Things that can't happen. But it was a sloppy game from the Chiefs all around, and you don't expect that to happen to this team. We get these expectations of the Kansas City Chiefs where this stuff can't happen. But unfortunately, it does rear its ugly head from time to time, and they had the extra time. You know, you play the Chargers on short week rest. You play them on a Thursday night, all the excitement. Chargers got blown out today. Justin Herbert's still reeling from those rib injuries in Kansas City. They didn't play well at all. They got ran over just like they did last year. This division remains anybody's game. The AFC West is not as good, I don't think, than we thought it was. I mean, look at the AFC South. They just went out and rolled things. But the AFC West, I don't know. We'll see what the Broncos can do tonight. I haven't been impressed with Russell Wilson or anything the Broncos are doing. Like I said, the Raiders, the only 0-3 football team in the National Football League. And Brandon Staley of the Chargers needs to get criticism other coaches get. He didn't make the playoffs last year because of his coaching. And now get the doors blown off you by the Jacksonville Jaguars at home. Doesn't make a lot of sense. That's the good news for the Kansas City Chiefs. It's still the best coach in the division. Still the best quarterback in the division. That should give you some kind of solace. Now they got to put it around. The game plan wasn't good. You saw at the end of the half where Mahomes wanted to keep going forward and throw the football down the field. And Bieniemy didn't. And he ran the clock out, and Mahomes wasn't very happy about it towards the end. So all those things with the Chiefs. Where do you sit with the Chiefs now? Obviously, when they lose games, we all kind of shake our head. And they don't lose by much. Mahomes lost, what, two games in his history? Over 8 points? Doesn't happen. He's been good in the month of September. Now it's 13-3, the record in September. 49 touchdowns, 4 interceptions for the Chiefs. 7 different offensive players with touchdowns as they've continued to spread the ball around. But we want to hear from you guys. 913-586-7610. 913-586-7610. Also, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line as we take the phone calls in our no huddle for anything you want to say about the Kansas City Chiefs now and for the next couple of hours. Let's hash this thing out. And we had to come on a little bit late. I get it. The Royals are playing. What a comeback, the Royals. How about those Royals, huh? Nice little comeback the Kansas City Royals had today as we heard Josh Vernier for the final week here of Kansas City Royals baseball. Let's go to the phone lines. Dan, what's up, Dan?
Thank you, Bob. Yeah.
Dan. Dan's gone. It looks like we're having some of the same phone lines that Josh Vernier had. But 913-586-7610 is the phone number. Jed, I'll be honest with you, sitting here watching the game with you, I didn't panic. We've seen it before. I mean, last week they fell down 10 points to the Chargers, who I thought were a better football team than what we saw today from the Colts. I've seen this team fall down and come back and win games. Today they didn't, and that's the biggest surprise. Because the Colts out at halftime looked like a team that was going to lose. Totally looked like a team that was going to lose. I even wrote it down. Just the Colts' expression, oh no, here come the Kansas City Chiefs. They looked really defeated at halftime. You know, they're down in the game 14-10 at that point. The Chiefs had come back in the game, and they did get that 2-point conversion from Kelce. That looked good. You know, they get the 8 points in the second quarter, the 6 in the first quarter after missing the extra point. Things looked good for the Kansas City Chiefs holding that 14-10 halftime lead. And at that point, you thought the ball was going to start to roll. At that point, you thought the Chiefs were going to kick it in the gear and beat the Indianapolis Colts, who were shut out in Jacksonville. Doesn't look as bad now because the Jags might be better than we think they are. But it is a team that tied the Texans and got blown out by the Jags. Let's go back and try Dan. Dan, what's up, my man?
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, I'm listening to country music.
Oh, sorry about that. Go ahead.
Oh, hey, Bink, how you doing?
Hey, we're doing great, man. I'm sorry about the hold music.
I just got back from the Power and Light District today, and I have agreed to you. The special teams are real sloppy. Yeah, I can't believe Sky Moore. Everybody can believe how he fumbled the ball, you know, and the defense played pretty good. And do you think, Bink, they should call that on Chris Jones? It didn't look like he really taunted Matt Ryan. What did you think about that? And let's take care of the Buccaneers.
You know what? He shouldn't have done anything, Dan. I mean, he shouldn't have. I mean, it's tough not to talk in football. Everybody talks in football. Everybody runs their mouth. Everybody talks smack. I get it. But he didn't do anything like push him or anything like that. Like, he didn't do anything. And they were, hell, I've seen Tom Brady do this stuff. Yell at opposing players. And it's been frequent that he does it. But I've never seen someone flag like that. What an important part of the football game for him to do it. Chris Jones did speak on that particular issue after the game.
Oh, it sucks, man, because I blame myself for that. We were stared down. We got off the field. Defense fell hard. And I kind of put us in a situation to get back on the field, and then we got scored on. And that sums up the game, so I take that one. It was my fault. It was definitely my fault. Yeah. As a veteran player on this team, I got to be better, you know, with those type of things, especially those situations. But it won't happen again for me. I'll take full blame. Apologize to my team, you know, for putting us in that type of situation. It was third down. We was off the field. Would have gave our offense the ball back.
Third and six was the situation. Matt Ryan sacked at the Indy 31 for an 8-yard loss, sacked by Nick Bolton, who had his first two career NFL sacks in this game. Chris Jones gets the unsportsmanlike conduct, 15 yards, and it was enforced at the Indy 31. So they get the first down. They keep the drive going. But that was a killer. And Chris Jones said, yeah, as a veteran, you got to know better. But, again, it's like, it must have been really bad what he said. It must have been really bad because guys run their mouth all the time. As long as they're not pushing the other player, who cares? But I guess he said something that shouldn't have been said. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll talk to the editor-in-chief, arrowheadpride.com, Pete Sweeney.
Let's go, no huddle. Edwards, you're
Kansas City Chiefs lose to the Indianapolis Colts today as the Chiefs suffer their first loss of the season. You know, last season, 2021, they started the season 1-2, then 2-2, 2-3, 3-3, then 3-4. Wasn't a good start for the Kansas City Chiefs. Could this spiral its way into that before they turn things around eventually? We'll talk to the editor-in-chief, arrowheadpride.com. We do each and every week. His name is Pete Sweeney. As we go out to Pete, right now his appearance presented by FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook and the official sportsbook of 610 Sports Radio. Pete, tough day for the Chiefs. Good evening.
How's it going, Jake?
It's going okay, Pete. You know, just another loss. And, you know, you hope it doesn't manifest like last year, because I think we forget last year how tenuous things started with the Kansas City Chiefs before they really got in sync and started the roll.
Yeah, there was a lull period, and, you know, it is very early. I think even some of the better Chiefs teams, they do have a couple of these losses that are ones that confuse you, they befuddle you, you don't expect them necessarily, and today was one of those days where everything kind of went wrong except for the defensive side of the football, and even still, it did seem like the Chiefs might pull out a win, but just not enough, too many mistakes, and finally, the last one was Chris Jones and whatever he said to Matt Ryan.
Yeah, it was kind of weird, wasn't it? I mean, usually you see somebody push somebody or shove somebody, but what a crucial time of the game to call that. Because we see guys running their mouth all game, Pete. You rarely see this.
Yeah, that's the one thing that was a bit surprising is typically there has to be some sort of physical altercation. And
yeah,
Andy
nothing.
Alluded to that. In his press conference, just the idea that, you know, he saw no physical contact. So I think you wonder what Chris Jones said. Chris Jones said he didn't really remember. Matt Ryan remembered, but he wasn't willing to say. So might be one of those things we never know what really happened.
Yeah, it's good code there. You know, no one knows what to do. But special teams, Pete, you did talk about the defense. We'll get to that in just a second. But special teams, yeah, that was the drawback. I mean, the fake punt, it was obviously a mistake. Andy Reid said it was. DMXS, we probably saw the last of Amendola. Missed extra point. Yeah. Justin Reed's a better kicker, to be honest with you. He puts the ball in the end zone on kickoffs, to be honest. But special teams were absolutely horrid today.
Yeah, I think that really gave you a reason to relish what Harrison Butker does on a week-in, week-out basis. I think sometimes we take that automatic guy, and don't get me wrong, he'll have his mistakes sometimes. We take that automatic guy a little bit for granted. And Matt Amendola and that 13 of 19 previously, before he got to the Chiefs, really reared its ugly head. And it wasn't necessarily always the deciding part of the game, but it to me was something that was keeping the Chiefs in a funk that they just could not find themselves out of when it came to the offense and the teams. I think Matt Amendola did a nice job in the last game, but, you know, kickers, their lifespan is short, and I don't expect he'll be here next week. Harrison Butker might have been ready anyway, but in the case that he still recovering from that ankle and the swelling, I imagine the Chiefs will have another kicker in here next week.
Yeah, 100% with you on that one. The offense, Pete, didn't look as crisp as what we've seen in the past. Obviously, there were some words between Bieniemy and Mahomes at the end of the first half where Mahomes wanted to go down and score. The running game was atrocious today for the Chiefs. Not only that, but all the time they left by not having a timeout at the end of the game to give Mahomes essentially no time.
Yeah, I wonder, and this is something that you start to question in hindsight. I was wondering why maybe the Chiefs weren't using their timeouts around the 2 minute mark when the Colts had the football, right? Because, you know, if they were to score a touchdown, and I understand you're playing a dangerous game. We saw that in the regular season game last year against the Cincinnati Bengals where you could use the timeouts and they might not be in the end zone, and then all of a sudden you just run out of time. But still, you question every decision in a loss like this where I just feel like the Chiefs are such a better team than the Indianapolis Colts, but they've shot themselves in the foot time and time again. It just was one too many mistakes. And to me, that was another one. Maybe not calling timeouts as the Colts set the football in the red zone.
Now, defensively, I thought it did a great job. I think Steve Spagnuolo had one of his best games calling plays, to be honest with you, because he found a way to manufacture a blitz. And I thought that was going to be the story coming this year. I've talked about Legarius Sneed and what an outstanding, you know, blitzer he can be from the secondary in the nickel spot. He's outstanding. But then Nick Bolton getting his first two NFL sacks as well. He's not an edge guy. He's an inside guy. That happened. Then we did see Carlos Dunlap on the edge look like fresh, young Carlos Dunlap when he just sprinted back to Matt Ryan and got the sack. But the pass rush was there for the Chiefs. They were, 12th in the NFL in sacks. They're going to go up this week.
Yeah, and I just think, and it's crazy to say this, one of the best parts of the Chiefs right now is the defensive line as a whole, which is not something I think I would be saying to you at week three, and especially with Mike Dan out of the mix today. But I thought Steve Spagnuolo called a great game, and I think Spagnuolo should be sick. I think the Chiefs should be sick for just blowing just an outstanding defensive performance and game plan. And it's really rare, especially in Kansas City in recent years, that we're blaming offense and Dave Tobe's special teams unit. But, you know, we see weird games in the NFL all the time, and this is one of those weird Sundays where the parts that are supposed to be stuff you rely on were unreliable, and the part of the team that you had questions about played outstanding, and it was a wasted effort. You know, you think about they allowed two touchdowns, the touchdown to end the game when Chris Jones shot himself in the foot, and the other touchdown was at the beginning of the game when they started at the 4-yard line. So even the touchdowns, you feel like it's hard to even blame the defensive unit for that. So just a really disappointing day, I think, for Chiefs fans and really the Chiefs, just because you blew what was an outstanding defensive performance.
Did you sense it and feel it at halftime? Because I did. I just mentioned it. Looking at the Colts' expression, their faces when the Chiefs, you know, had taken that lead. They had taken it right back, and just the ease in which they did it. It was like, oh, they were thinking, here we go again. But they looked defeated at halftime. That's why it's kind of shocking they actually won, because I think it surprised them.
Yeah, and I think also, too, I don't like to always pick sides here, right, because we're just supposed to present the information, let the fans decide. But I was with Mahomes when, you know, there's 20-something seconds left in. And I get it. You're at the end of the half. You don't have the timeouts. But this is Patrick Mahomes, and you brought these receivers here for a reason. I just didn't love that moment where they handed it off to Jett McKinnon and they were just comfortable with the 14-10 lead. And I get, look, this isn't the Legion of Zoom Chiefs anymore. This is more methodical, let's win the game, almost like a chess match offense type deal. But to me, I just didn't love surrendering at the end of the half, even still getting the ball back. And we saw how the game played out. I don't think that was the sole reason that the Chiefs lost, but I think it was one of the reasons of many where – you regain the lead, you do have all this momentum, and then you just settle for the 4-point lead. I didn't love it, and to me, that's not been the Chiefs' identity for a long time now, and you know, I bet you they learned from that.
Pete, as far as this division was highly touted as the best division in football. I know it's early, I know we're 3 weeks into the season, but I don't think we can make that statement anymore. The Chargers look like absolute crap today, losing 38-10. I know Herbert's banged up, but still, Mahomes doesn't lose those games. They don't have 38-10 losses. They just don't. That is a bad football team the way they played today. Raiders, the only 0-3 team in the National Football League. The Broncos, if they lose tonight, they have Sunday Night Football against number one defense in the NFL. The 49ers, they could fall to 2-1. Hell, if they win, they're 2-1. Big deal. But this division doesn't seem to be as daunting as it did.
No. And that teaches you a lesson every year. Like sometimes things you're assuming in March and April, you get to the fall and things can be a lot different. And we had a lot of respect for the Las Vegas Raiders and what they might be able to do this year. I mean, they're still looking for their first win. The Broncos have looked not so great, you know, through these first two games. They did manage to win against the Houston Texans, but you're wondering if they can get things going tonight against the San Francisco 49ers. I think they're still waiting to get something going. And then, yeah, the Chargers did not look the part. And what's even interesting about it, too, is, I mean, you look at the grand picture of the AFC. Buffalo Bills lose to Miami today. And I just think we're looking at each other here, and we're like, okay, can the Chiefs overcome their own Division A? Can they overcome the Buffalo Bills? And can they overcome the Cincinnati Bengals? And now suddenly I think you're like, wait a minute, are there other customers to this party? And I'm not talking about the Colts, because I think the Colts need a lot to happen to win today. But the Miami Dolphins look legit. I hate to say that in Kansas City. The Jacksonville Jaguars look like they could be a really interesting team. And suddenly it's not a party of three or four. I mean, you're talking about six, seven contenders. And we've said the NFC is wide open. I'm starting to wonder if the AFC is as well.
You buying into the Dolphins? Because I'll say this, Pete. Today, Tyreek Hill, 2 catches, 33 yards. Jalen Waddle, 4 for 102. And listen, everything's going fine now because they're winning. But that team's got a lot of egos and attitudes and things like that. And if you start to lose, things go downhill. I mean, is Tyreek Hill calling Drew Rosenhaus and complaining about the 2 catches after a win like he did in Kansas City? I'm just curious. And by week six, if Jalen Waddle continues to put up better numbers than him, are they going to start having a problem offensively? I just see something that looks great right now but could collapse.
Well, with all those personalities, and you know this, you've seen different teams over the years where when you have those personalities, if you win, it's fine. And you're making a good point. If you start losing, you know, then things can kind of sputter there. And you're asking good questions. But I'm just looking at the team right now, and I understand the Buffalo Bills were badly injured, you know, in the backfield. They were missing a lot of defensive starters. But this is the NFL, right? I mean, teams have injuries every single week. You either overcome them and you don't. And the Dolphins were able to get a huge win in a division, too. Like, the Dolphins, no one ever even considered that they could win the division. I think some people thought the Patriots were interesting and Mac Jones' second year. A lot of people just assumed the Buffalo Bills would not only roll over their division but win the damn Super Bowl. And now the Dolphins seem like a little bit of a roadblock. And you have interest there just because the Chiefs and the Dolphins in that trade, it just was a significant part of these franchises' trajectories. And you're watching from afar to see if it works out. The Kansas City offense didn't look great today. And not to say that Tyreek Hill would have made a huge difference. I think it was more than that. But the Dolphins are 3-0, and it's suddenly another interesting storyline in the NFL.
Any thoughts about Mahomes v. Brady? Once again, here's Brady playing Rodgers today and losing. Brady loses, and now he's got Mahomes again. We all know what happened in regular season a couple years ago. Obviously, they flipped the script right in the Super Bowl. But, it's kind of a fun game to look forward to be honest with you.
Well, take the Arrowhead pride out of it. Take, you know, Chiefs fans out of it and being in Kansas City. You have two really great quarterbacks that don't like to lose two games in a row. And one of these guys will lose two games in a row on Sunday night. And I think it's going to be a really fun matchup to watch. I always like when Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes get together. And I think there is a sense of not only, okay, we just lost to the Colts, we need to get our stuff back together. But I think last time we were here, we had a really bad taste in our mouth. And I think proving that you're a different team now is something that'll play into, you know, that game. Just getting the offense and feeling good about it again. Like, I do not think the Chiefs are going to watch this tape and feel like they have a good offense right now. And so it's turning the page quickly, not letting one win turn into two and not falling into that quicksand, you know, because if you go on a skid here, you know, you start to play yourself out of any kind of by contention just because there is only one instead of two right now.
Great stuff. Pete Sweeney, the editor-in-chief, arrowheadpride.com. Check out their fantastic work over there. Pete's appearance brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook and the official sportsbook of 610 Sports Radio. Thanks a lot, Pete. Looking forward to talking to you next week, my friend.
All right, Jay.
Thank you. There you go. Pete Sweeney right there joining us. And that's the thing, Jen. Spags was nails, man. I've been saying it all offseason, right? When I'm asked, what do you think of the Chiefs pass rush? I said, it's going to be manufactured. You know, safety blitzes. Saw that with Justin Reed. Nickel blitzes. L'Jarius Sneed. Saw the inside linebacker blitz. And don't forget, Leo Chenal will be used in this equation.
I'm a little upset with Pete for not saying smell you later.
Well, this was because the Chiefs lost. Pete sometimes tempers things down when the Chiefs lose.
And that's the issue?
I think so. He's a little bit down, you know, when they do. The whole smell you later is funny. Ha, ha, ha. Whenever the Chiefs win, you know, but when they lose, kind of loses some lust. You know what I'm saying?
He did seem down.
He was a little bit.
Long Island guy.
Well, I mean, you know, the Chiefs, you know, his publications about the Chiefs and Chiefs just win. And
wait, hang on. Tell me more about this Arrowhead Pride. So what is it? And
they
what
cover
does
the
it
Chiefs
do?
And the Chiefs only, you know?
Really?
Yeah, and they do a great job.
It's the best publication out there. If you 100%. Really wanted to go and 100%. Follow, if you're really intrigued about 100%. The Chiefs, you should go to arrowheadpride.com.
I know, I do. Great guys over there. Do it all the time. But Spags, here's the thing, Jed. I was sitting here talking to you. We were watching the game there. I said, see, he's dialing up weird stuff, man. He's making you think where they're coming from. That was a beautiful game plan, not letting Matt Ryan feel comfortable at all. Matt Ryan shouldn't have scared anybody today. And I thought Jonathan Taylor was held in check by the Chiefs. Chiefs defense looked good. I think this defensive line is better than what they were, you know, expecting coming in. I think defensive line is actually better than the offensive line, to be 100% honest with you. But manufacturing a blitz, having it come from different directions, is just what they do. I mean, this is just what the Kansas City Chiefs and Steve Spagnuolo does. If you don't have the elite guy on the edge, or if Karlaftis, you're saying, all right, he's good, he's going to be good for the future, but is he good now? But you got to find a way to get the quarterback. You have to make that quarterback feel uncomfortable. You have to make them question what they're doing. And you saw that with Herbert. He felt really comfortable that first half against the Chiefs when they played the Chargers. He was feeling it, man. He was feeling it. Chargers Twitter was feeling it. The team was feeling it. Then what happened? The second half, putting pressure on him, making him feel it. You know, say, hey, well, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, when do they lose? You put pressure on them. Yeah, that's obvious. No quarterback does well with pressure. But some guys, I mean, it really starts to bother their attitude. And just like when Peyton Manning doesn't have time to be Peyton Manning when he played, or when Tom Brady, you know, doesn't have time to be Tom Brady, the frustration starts to set in. The Chiefs are finding ways to make you think, okay, they might not be able to get us on the edge, but, you know, you got Chris Jones up through the middle. That could cause damage. Now you have Nick Bolton. It's an inside linebacker blitz. He got 2 sacks today. Then you always have Le'Veon Sneed to worry about. They were using Cook today. The missile from Cincinnati they drafted, using him on the blitz. I mean, they were using 3 different guys from the secondary to get to the quarterback, and it worked. Let's go back to the phone lines. Go to Steve in Olathe. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. You know, I think what we learned today is that the margin for error with this team is very slim. We're lucky that everyone else in the division is losing. It's just that you cannot have minute mistakes become major mistakes. Sky Moore and Juju running the wrong pattern on the last play, and Mahomes was right to take on Eric Bieniemy. It's this mentality that we have to sit on leads and play conservative. With Tyreek Hill, we can play free, and sitting on the ball. Eric Bieniemy deserved to get chewed out right there. If you ask me, we've got way too many conservative type people, and then you're going to lose games with this. You have to play with a free mind. I want you guys to discuss why we're sitting on the ball with 2 seconds left when you could throw it downfield and get a penalty at the end of the first half. I don't know why everybody protects Eric Bieniemy. Mahomes was right.
Well, the other thing is Andy Reid took blame for it too. Keep this in mind. You know, we can sit here and blame Eric Bieniemy all we want, which is great. You think the buck stops with Eric Bieniemy? No, the buck stops with Andy Reid. Everything goes through him. Hell, if he wants to push the ball downfield at the end of the half, they're going to push the ball down at the end of the half. Let's not forget that. You know, let's not think for a second Eric Bieniemy's got more power than Andy Reid, because that's simply not true.
As a head coach, you have to delegate some of that. I mean, obviously, you can't major decisions, but I think you don't want to start an open warfare. Everyone's trying to minimize this, say, oh, well, there's no disagreement. Well, I guarantee you Mahomes still thinks we should have thrown the ball downfield. There is,
of course,
there is
he's a competitor. It's what competitors want to do, man.
Exactly.
They want to score at any cost. I mean, that's exactly what they want to do. They want to push the ball down. They want to push the ball down and score. It's what they want to do. It's a competitor, and I get it. You know, and Andy Reid said, hey, there's some things that he would take back. I mean, there's a lot of things we'd all take back in our life or making business decisions. We would, but I'm not going to freak out over one loss. I'm not going to freak out over a three-point loss.
And to me, who hasn't been critical of the relationship between Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy? You know, like when you look at what the play calling offense has been, I think that everybody, at least in Kansas City, is of the same opinion that Andy Reid is the one who has the juice, like you were talking about, Bank. But to me, they even addressed it after the game. Those are two things. When you get highly competitive people in the heat of a moment, that will happen. And to me, I don't feel like that was necessarily a bad thing. It's unfortunate that it happened, but I don't think that that was the reason why the Chiefs lost the game.
No, but I mean, here's the thing. I mean, Mahomes is clearly upset with Bieniemy in the direction, but sure. You think Bieniemy acted alone? No.
No.
Andy Reid's in the headset. Andy Reid is the guy that orchestrates everything that happens with that football team.
For sure.
Well, let's not forget that. Let's not forget that's the end-all be-all.
Right, and I think that you and I know well enough that Andy Reid ultimately has the juice, and he's calling the plays. Eric Bieniemy is signaling them in to Patrick Mahomes. Whether he's upset because they didn't have the right call, I think that maybe the disconnect might come from maybe the relationship that he and Andy Reid have as opposed to what Eric Bieniemy and Mahomes have. I have no inside information on that, but to me, that's where, when you sit and look at it, to me, that's not two guys who are upset with each other. It's two guys who, put into a circumstance, didn't necessarily see eye to eye, which isn't the worst thing always.
Not always. It's going to happen, but I'll take a three-point loss. It's much better feeling than sitting there as the Chargers getting bombed at home 38-10.
Oh, I feel like that's fine.
I mean, it just happens.
Oh, if you're a Chiefs fan.
And don't forget, the Chiefs were 1-2 last year. Then they were 2-2. Then they were 2-3. Then they were 3-3. Then they were 3-4. Boom comes the winning streak.
Did they make the playoffs, though, Big?
They did. They made the AFC title game.
They did?
Mahomes has made the AFC title game every year, so don't panic. Twice he's gotten a Super Bowl. The other two times he's lost in overtime.
So if one loss isn't
With panic the old time. Overtime rules, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. I see what you're doing.
But there was a lot of mistakes we can look back and say to fix them. And I'm sure going back and watching this film is not going to be fun for the coaching staff, just looking at missed opportunities that they had today. We'll take a timeout. The phone number 913-586-76. Then we come back. We'll hear from the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, the great calls of the game, brought to you by Tullamore Dew.
You're listening to the Arrowhead Pride Postgame Show, presented by Andy's Frozen Custard. Tune in Mondays at 7:30 for our weekly conversation with Derek Johnson on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio. It's time for Touchdown Kansas City.
Harden waits for a block, and he gets the 15, 10, explodes, dives, the Jet has landed the plane!
A highlight-filled summary of the game with the voice of Chiefs Kingdom, Mitch Holtis.
Touchdown Kansas City!
That's right, Touchdown Kansas City with Mitch Holtis, brought to you by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's Tully time. Well, the Colts, you guys know the outcome, so it's always tough to do this. But we'll hear it. Matt Ryan to Woods for the first touchdown of the game.
Ryan will be in the shotgun this time. They've also got a tight wing set to the right on third down and goal to go inside the one. Ryan wants to throw it. Looking left, fires for the end zone, caught, and it's Jelani Woods. His first NFL catch for the rookie out of Virginia is a touchdown for the Colts, and the fumbled punt leads to Colts points.
Jelani Woods gets the first touchdown, the rookie. Tight end for the Colts gets the first touchdown from Matt Ryan. But 1:23 off the clock, that was a fast one. Remember, Sky Moore muffs the punt. The Colts get the ball. Chiefs did a great job of forcing the Colts to punt. And they muffed the punt, put them down there in great territory. They score three plays and only 4 yards, 1:23 off the clock. Jelani Woods gets the touchdown at the back of the end zone. The Kansas City Chiefs, though, would get on the board once again as the last score of the first quarter.
Chiefs are in the red zone. First down and goal to go at the 3, trailing 7-0. Inside of a minute to go, first quarter. Mahomes will throw first down and fires near side, caught. Touchdown, Kansas City. Travis Kelce with the touchdown on an out deep in the end zone, and the Chiefs have a chance to tie it with a point after.
And we've heard that multiple times. Mahomes to Travis Kelce. Extra point, not so good. That was a missed extra point by Matt Amendola. That made the score 7-6. That was a four-play, 35-yard drive, taking 2 minutes, 3 seconds off the clock. By the Chiefs, score 7-6, heading to the second quarter. And then Chase McLaughlin kicked the 43-yard field goal for the Colts. They went up 10-6 before Clyde the Glide got into the end zone, which, believe it or not, this is shorter than a yard, Jed. He was credited for 7 carries and no yards, but he did get in the end zone.
Edwards-Helaire is the running back. Chiefs load up, double tights to the right side. Motion to the right side is Hardman. First down and goal to go. They give it off right side. Edwards-Helaire waits, hesitates, gets into the end zone, left shoulder first. Touchdown, Kansas City. The Chiefs have their first lead of the game at 1:46 to go in the second quarter.
Clyde the Glide, 1 yard run, puts the Kansas City Chiefs. Then Travis Kelce, a 2-point conversion, made the score 14-10.
I heard that his nickname actually was Louisiana Hot Sauce.
Jed. I've heard it too. Louisiana Hot Sauce gets into the end zone. 5 catches, 39 yards. Doing better in the passing game for the Chiefs than the actual running game. 5 plays, 21 yards, minute 37. Because, again, you know, getting a Matt Ryan fumble, a turnover, helped the Kansas City Chiefs sack. Going into halftime, is 14-10 Chiefs. And the Colts, the expression on their faces with Timo's defeated. But they still believe because the Chiefs kept them in this game. Matt Amendola in the third quarter did hit a 26-yard field goal. He missed an extra point, and he missed a 34-yarder, which he left 4 points off the table. Chiefs lose by 3 points. But anyway, that made the score 17-10. Then Chase McLaughlin of the Colts kicks a 51-yard field goal. 10 plays. It was a nice 10-play drive, 42 yards, 5:03 off the clock, making the score 17-13. And then we've got the final score for the Colts. 16 plays, 76 yards, 8:14 off the clock. It was ridiculous how much time they took off the clock. Matter of fact, people were talking about a couple years ago, the year the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. They lost the Colts in the regular season. Why? Because of time of possession, TOP. The Colts had it. If they could find a way to keep time of possession, this is what happens. But Chris Jones on the play. Chris Jones had the situation on 3rd and 6. Chiefs get the ball or going to force a punt by the Colts. And guess what happens, Jed? Guess what happens?
A sack? Interception?
17-13 Kansas City. 2nd and 10 Colts at the KC 12-yard line. Ryan to throw. They push the pocket. He fires for the end zone. It is caught. Touchdown, Colts. Caught by Jelani Woods. The 3rd-round draft pick out of Virginia on a 12-yard touchdown reception at 24 seconds to go in the game.
That was not what you presented at all, Jay. I thought it was a sack or an interception.
No.
Pressure the Chiefs' defense employed earlier in this game just kind of dissipated.
Jelani Woods.
Chris Jones gets close to Matt Ryan on that play, but that's a laser thrown by Matt Ryan. 24 seconds left, down by 2, possibly 3 here. To put the onus on the shoulders of Patrick Mahomes and this offense.
Big PAT try here by Chase McLaughlin. Keep in mind the Chiefs missed a PAT and a field goal in this game. McLaughlin's kick is good, and the Colts lead 20-17 at 24 seconds to go.
No way. And, well, Jed, that's kind of 16-play drive.
No expert, but it seems like had they made that field goal and extra point, it might have been a happier outcome.
It might
outcome.
Have been Chris Jones not getting the 15. I think that was, he was talking. Right? He never pushed him. He never shoved him. There was no physical contact by Chris Jones. But the Tully touchdown of the game, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. It's got to be this one. Usually it's more fun when they win. But I'm going to go ahead and give it to Travis Kelce to Mahomes.
Chiefs are in the red zone. 1st down and goal to go at the 3, trailing 7-0. Inside of a minute to go, first quarter. Mahomes will throw 1st down and fires near side. Caught! Touchdown! Kansas City! Travis Kelce with the touchdown on an out deep in the end zone, and the Chiefs have a chance to tie it with the point after.
That was the Tullamore Dew Chiefs play of the game. It's Touchdown Kansas City, brought to you by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's Tully time. Got me thinking for a second, Jed. Like, okay, Travis Kelce, we'll think something positive here, right? Travis Kelce, Most consecutive games with the pass reception, he's got 129 now. I can't even take it for granted like how good he's been with the, just like, oh, ho-hum, there's Travis Kelce. 129 for consecutive games with the pass reception. Tony Gonzalez has the record at 131. That's going to fall. It's going to fall really quickly. NFL record book for most consecutive games by for a pass reception active streak. He's right behind DeAndre Hopkins, who's suspended right now. He's got 129. Hopkins has 136. Also, Travis Kelce, if you want to know two-point conversions, keep in mind the NFL adopted the two-point conversion back in 1994. He has five. Tony Gonzalez had three, and then a host of other Chiefs at two, as he did get a two-point conversion today. But he sits there in most two-point conversion passes. Obviously, Mahomes, he's behind Lynn Dawson by two because the AFL had different rules back then before the NFL merger, and that's where that sit. But Travis Kelce, I think we kind of take it for granted sometimes just how good that he is. But the Chiefs lose today. I'm kind of curious, too. Like, are you down on the Chiefs? Because last year, people were really down, Jed. I mean, they were really down. The Chiefs lost. And again, when you start 1-2, there's going to be doubts. There's going to be anger. But I think I'll ride with the guy that's fifth all-time in coaching wins, Andy Reid.
When you have number 15 under center, too. Yeah.
And he's also third all-time in postseason wins. One more win puts him and Belichick up at the top.
And as we were talking about last week, I think one of the things that's unbelievable about Coach Reid and one of the things that is probably underappreciated is that people don't have the understanding of just how impressive it is to have an over 500 or 500 winning record in the postseason, because it's a one and done tournament. You know, like, you don't get more chances. So I think that that is one of the things that I always am astounded at when you talk about Coach Reid's coaching acumen.
No question. And they'll turn it around. I mean, there's a lot to turn around after this game. It's a lot to think about. And you would think with extra rest, it would look different. But sloppy game.
And turn around.
Defensively, it wasn't sloppy.
For sure. But, I mean, you're still talking about a team that gave up 20 points. And turn around, again, I still maybe even bristle at a little bit when you're talking about a team that's 2-1 in a division that they've dominated for 5 years. So I think, to me, that's one of the things. I think, unfortunately, we live in a society where it's very overreactionary, and I get that everyone's frustrated. We all want the Chiefs to win. Obviously, we being the Chiefs partners want them to win. It helps all of us. But still, the Chiefs at 2-1, who would you put in front of them, Bink? Would you put the Bills in front of them?
We'll find out in a couple of weeks, but at this point, no. It's like, beat them in the postseason, then we'll talk.
Right.
And they have to go, you know, beat them. Like, I know they beat them in the regular season last year. Beat them in the postseason, and then we'll talk. I'm not ready to give the mantle to the Bills yet.
Sure. And, well, and
the,
I mean,
the Dolphins, I'm not 100% buying into, because I right. think at some point it could be an implosion.
Well, and who knows how long Tua's actually going to be able to stay healthy. I mean, he's shown throughout his career that he has a propensity to get injured. But even if you look around the rest of the AFC, I mean, are you fearing the Bengals?
No, they did get the win today over the Jets, but they're 1-2.
Right. Are you fearing the Bills? We just talked about that. No. Are you?
I don't
fearing...
think there's the team to fear in the AFC.
Exactly. The right Unless you're the Chiefs. I think that they're the best team, and I know that there are, it might be diminishing returns or whatever, but I still think that they're the team to beat. I know that everybody's hot and heavy on the Bills, but I have less fear of them than I did prior to the season.
Well, and the one thing, too, is it's the NFL. Things flip on a dime. They do. Like, can the Jags keep this up? They did lose the Commanders this year.
Right.
Today was a great win. But again, Justin Herbert, not 100%. Obviously, we know about the ribs. He was a true game-time decision. But to lose 38-10 is
not ideal.
He's not the one out there letting James Robinson run 50 yards for a touchdown.
He
like,
was
that
not.
Had nothing to do with Justin Herbert.
No. And to me, I don't know, if you're a Chiefs fan, I think that's one of the things that you have to keep in perspective is that, yeah, it's disappointing to anytime fall to a team that you're probably better than, especially in the Colts case. But if you're looking around the AFC, I still think that you should definitely think that you're the team to beat.
No question. And now it's, you know, put up or shut up time for the team. You got Tom Brady and the Bucs this week. Then you get the Raiders, who are really struggling at this point. I mean, they're 0-3. Josh McDaniels, the coach. Listen, they're coming to Kansas City. There won't be any victory tours by the Raiders in this game. But then, it's the big game. You don't want to look ahead to the Buffalo Bills coming to town. Then you can plant that flag and say, who's better, you or the Bills? Then, oh yeah, by the way, you play the number one defense in the NFL, the 49ers. And by the way, you get the Jaguars 2 weeks after that. Well, you have the bye week, then the Titans, then the Jags. So are the Jags for real night? You get a chance at Arrowhead Stadium to find out for yourselves if that team is real or not. Time to head inside that locker room now and hear from head coach Andy Reid, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Here's Big Red after the game.
All right. There are no injuries to give you. I will tell you that I didn't have our guys ready to go well enough, and it's my responsibility. Could have put our guys in a lot better positions during that game and didn't take advantage of that. So I thought we had some real good downs, but we also had some turnovers and some mistakes that shouldn't have taken place. And we'll correct those and get ourselves back ready to go. So, with that, time's yours.
Coach, what do you say to Chris Jones on that fourth down play? What was your message to him? I know it kind of like changed the game, but what do you say to him after an error like that?
Yeah. Well, I didn't see any pushing or shoving. I'm not exactly sure. There were two guys talking to each other. I know that. And it seemed like Chris got called on that. So I guess the best advice would be don't talk.
So you didn't get any further explanation on that flag?
No, that was what I was told.
And can you walk us through the decision to, it looked from our vantage point, like it's a fake field goal? I guess, A, is that the case? What the decision was for that?
Yeah, that's one I probably should have called.
From the start of the game, it seemed like special teams had a few mistakes. How much does that carry over to the rest of the game?
Yeah, well, listen, you know, in the NFL, there's the parity is crazy. So any mistakes get magnified. I mean, that's just how it goes. And so we got to clean that up. You know, we got to clean it up, and we'll get that taken care of.
How would you just characterize the offense right now?
Yeah. You know what? I've got to make sure I'm putting the guys in a better position and get us in a rhythm. I've got to do a better job, get us in a rhythm. And that's not taking place. So, we've got to go back and look at that.
And yet, as you guys were getting ready to go into the locker room for halftime, it appeared that Patrick and EB didn't agree on the decision. I don't know if it was whether to go for a Hail Mary. Yeah. You had to sort of separate the two. Can you just...
There wasn't. I'm sure that's how it looked, but there really wasn't. I say he wanted to go for it, obviously.
Hail Mary specifically?
No, not a Hail Mary, something else that we have in the plan, but I thought it was best not to do it. So he was just, he's a competitive kid, you know, and he wants to, you know, take advantage of every opportunity. I thought it was best just to let that ride there. But really, if you heard the words that were said, that wasn't, I don't know how it looked to you guys, but it wasn't a confrontation at all. That's not what it was.
On that opening drive that you had the second half, you went for it the first time on fourth down, decided to kick the field goal the second time you were on the fourth down. What was the difference?
It was a little bit longer, and we had a shot. I thought we had a shot at making the field goal right there.
Andy, how much trust did you have in Amendola today?
I had trust him because he made it last week, you know, so at a certain spot, right? I want to make sure we didn't put him in a bad position. He's a young guy that's just starting off here, so, I mean, tried to make sure it was the right position to put him in.
Was there any decision to have Justin kick today for you?
No.
Andy, Nate asked you a minute ago about the fake field goal. Can you elaborate on your answer? I'm not sure what your answer was.
Yeah, my answer was that I should probably not have done that.
So that's easy to see now. Go elaborate on your reasoning for doing it in the first place.
Yeah, we thought we'd have it.
Anything else? Dr. Nate?
All right.
There you go, Andy Reid, after the game, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Couple things there, Jed. One, he said that it was kind of his decision not to push it down the field. Like, he kind of took the onus on that. Now, whether he meant that or not, but I've seen managers, Ned Yost used to do this with the Royals as well. You take the blame for it.
I think it's...
That's what a good head coach or manager does.
I think it's actually the second time this week that we've heard Andy Reid talk about how he has brought the onus onto himself and stuff like that, kind of putting to bed what relationship just what the play calling, you know, tendencies tend to be with the team and Eric Bieniemy's role, at least in my mind.
And what he said, too, was the fact that it was a mistake. Fake punt was a mistake. Or fake field goal was a mistake. You know, that was field goal at this time. And Tommy Townsend threw the ball, which he did, on a trick play last year. So he said that was a mistake. We don't know what the words were between Bieniemy and that stuff. He seemed to really kind of, you know, squash it. Of course, that's one to do. We want to keep it in-house. That stuff does happen a lot.
For sure.
And it does happen a lot between players and coaches. We just happen to see it, but a lot of this happens. Doesn't mean it doesn't happen when the cameras aren't rolling.
Right. Well, and in the world we live in, we're given so much more access than we ever were, especially when you and I were growing up. The special teams concerns definitely are real, but when you're playing without Harrison Butker, who actually is a very good weapon, especially in, you know, field goal kicking situations and stuff like that, I don't blame the Chiefs, especially going on the road when it didn't seem like had everything rolling offensively. I don't think necessarily the call is the worst idea. The practicality and, you know, execution of it wasn't ideal, but still, the call when you're playing down one of the best kickers in the NFL, I don't think that that's the worst read by Andy Reid.
No, and he also talked about Chris Jones there and the penalty, the fact that he didn't see any pushing or shoving, right?
And I'm sure we'll hear from Chris Jones here in a minute, but it also seems like, at least to him, it was something that he's experienced many times in his...
There's a lot of things said on that field, Jed.
Oh, yeah. For sure. For sure. And when you're going back and forth and when it's a highly contested game like that, but Chris Jones also is a guy who's very affable and charismatic, especially within the media and stuff like that. I'm sure once you get into the heat of battle that there's going to be a little bit of talk.
And Tom Brady does this all the time. How many times have you seen Tom Brady yell? I guarantee there's not nice things he's saying.
But you don't think?
I don't think. Philip Rivers, he talked a lot of junk, but I heard junk was clean. It was pretty, it would make you feel bad, but it was clean.
Right.
That was just Rivers. He talked smack in a clean way, but he was talking smack. He was talking junk without cussing.
Well, and isn't that...
But he was still talking making junk.
And isn't that the beauty of sport, that you want to have people who are competitors and go back and forth and get into it a little bit?
To me, that's harmless.
Whether the referees were too cavalier with what they decided to do.
He body slammed him.
No, he did not.
Even that's legal. That's Travis Kelce.
And then there was a body slam in this game, too.
Yeah, there was a body slam. Chiefs getting a little slam action on that. Well, speaking of Chris Jones, let's go back in that locker room and hear from Chris Jones at Indianapolis. Locker Room Sound brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. It's Chris Jones trying to explain basically what happened in that series, because I'll be honest with you, tough series, tough situation, what happened. And you could look to, you know, as Dick Vermeil said, it's funny because we come back to this all the time. Dick Vermeil says football comes down to one or two plays. And literally, it literally does come down to one or two plays, unless you're the Chargers and the Jags, because that did not come down to one or two plays, but typically it does. Again, the missed kick, the missed extra point, that did matter. Also, Chris Jones prolonging the drive by the Colts did matter. Here's Chris Jones.
Whatever the official call, man. I got to do a better job in not talking to opposing teams, right?
Chris, what did you say?
Honestly, I don't even remember. I didn't think I said anything vulgar or disrespectful, but I just can't say anything within the heat of the moment. The game is changing, so I got to evolve to the game.
Did he express some level of frustration at you for sort of maybe after the snap?
I was frustrated that I got called. I don't think I said anything horrendous, but you know, the official called it, and I can't take it back. So I got to do a better job of playing the game and not saying anything, obviously.
Were you surprised? Ryan talking also?
I thought we was having a conversation with one another, but, you know, never know what the official seen. Could have heard something that was loud. So, you know, I just got to do a better job, man.
Chris,
playing football.
Are you surprised at the flag?
Yeah, I was clearly surprised. I didn't think he was going to call the flag when we was clearly, you know, having a conversation. But, you know.
Did you get an explanation from the ref? Did you ask him one?
There's no need for no explanation. You know, the flag was called. That's what he's called. So, you know, can't argue, can't take a flag back. So, next play.
Chris, how hard is it just to get past that it happened that way?
Oh, it sucks, man, because I blame myself for that. It was third down. We got off the field. Defense fought hard. And I kind of put us in a situation to get back on the field, and then we got scored on. And that sums up the game. So I take that one. It was my fault. It was definitely my fault. As a veteran player on this team, I got to be better, you know, with those type of things, especially those situations. But it won't happen again for me. I'll take full blame. Apologize to my team, you know, for putting us in that type of situation. It was third down. We was off the field. Would have gave our offense the ball back. So.
Did you actually speak to the team explicitly, or are you just sort of saying that in a general way?
Just saying it in general, you know.
Yeah. Is this the type of thing you feel like you've said, done before without being flagged in the back?
Well, listen, I've never been flagged for talking or having a conversation. But the game is evolving, man. So we got to learn to adjust as players, and we got to do a better job at it.
Okay, thanks, guys. Last one.
Assess where this team is. Week one,
you
guys came out with dominant. The last 2 weeks, sort of scuffled here and there. So, what are the Chiefs right now?
We're still growing. A little adversity. Don't get hand up on the loss. It's a lot of good that came out of this, and it's a lot of learning points that we can learn from this. So,
thank you, guys. Appreciate it a lot.
There you go, Chris Jones, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. And if that's true, Jed, hey, I was just talking. You know, he's talking about the game evolving. Like, you can't do things in this game that you used to be able to do. It's a, you know, it's a tough break at times, right?
And I think that it shows maturity from Chris Jones recognizing.
He took responsibility.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the things that the Chiefs certainly would take pride in, knowing that their players are actually being responsible and stuff like that. Maybe the actions didn't play out on the field today, but at least Chris Jones, especially given his contract and things of that nature, I definitely think that the Chiefs have to be very happy with that response.
Not only that, I'll give credit here to Matt Ryan, Jed. He's not kissing and telling. He's doing code, right? I'm not going to tell you what he said.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
Well, you see what I'm saying? I mean, he could have said, well, yeah, Chris Jones said this, this, and this. But Matt Ryan's probably that type. But it happened in the game, and he's like, okay, I'm not going to tell you what he said. I mean, I do respect that to some extent that, you know, he's not throwing it out there. Hey, he said this, this, and this to me. It hurt my feelings. Like, I'm giving credit because he's not saying. Like, if Chris really hurt his feelings, he would say something. But Matt Ryan knows this is stuff that goes on all the time in football. He could probably sit there and tell you a laundry list of things said to him during that game.
Do you think so?
He did not break guy code there, did he? He could have, but he didn't.
No, he did not. And I mean, you and I know just as well as anybody, Jay, the conversations that go on in between the trenches.
Very friendly.
You know, super friendly. And that's why they obviously put the boom mics right up there. Oh, wait, they do not.
You know, John Randall, you remember him? He used to play for the Vikings.
Yeah, the Vikings.
Stud. He would paint, like, you know, underneath his eyes.
Yeah, the eye black.
Very intimidating. But he used to know the opposing team's media guy. He'd know what your mom's name is, your sister's name, your brother. Like, he would know everything about you. And his smack was some of the best. Clearly, when he knows something about you personally, he would, you know, he knew he's playing against and he would learn about you. Yeah, there's some very, I talked to some of these former players, they come up here like Sean Barber and stuff like that and find out. Yeah, but I give credit for Matt Ryan. You know what? Hey, we'll leave it between me and Chris Jones. We'll leave it between us. We're the only two that heard it. Boom. Hey, code, man.
If you're in Matt Ryan or Chris Jones' position, don't you think that you're probably planning on meeting up somewhere down the road?
Yeah, probably so. I just appreciate a guy doing that. You know, he's not tattletelling,
right,
or anything else. He's not getting Chris Jones fined because who knows? The NFL's probably waiting to hear what was said so he could get a check for charity once again from Chris Jones in that situation. But he didn't tell. So I'll give Matty Ice, Matt Ryan, credit on that one, not being a tattletale in that situation. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. It's also the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. We'll hear from you, give our thoughts, and go back inside the Chiefs locker room next.
Your home for K-State Athletics is right here on 610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDAF HD2 Liberty, always live on the Odyssey app. Let's go no huddle.
Edwards-Helaire gets the handoff off the first hit, off the second hit, off the third hit, and into the sweet nectar of the end zone.
Taking your calls now at 913-586-7610.
Chiefs lose the day to the Indianapolis Colts 20-17. A lot of mistakes on special teams, things to get fixed. But in my opinion, nothing to panic over this yet. I mean, again, last year they were 1-2, then 2-2, then 2-3, then 3-3, then 3-4. Football happens, so to speak. So what happens in the National Football League? At least you're not losing 38-10 like the Jags beating the Chargers today, or like the Packers lost in, you know, week one. But you know what? The real time is coming for the Chiefs. It's going to be fun. The stretch run is going to be fun for the Chiefs, especially getting Tom Brady. Mahomes is 2-3 against Tom Brady career-wise, if you count the postseason. He's 2-1 in the regular season, but 2-3 when you throw in the costly losses, including that overtime loss in the AFC title game, and then that loss in the Super Bowl, and obviously those are the most important losses. But the Chiefs get them. Then they get the Raiders at home, okay? It's a 7:15 game, a Monday night game, but the Raiders haven't won a game yet. And Josh McDaniels, kind of looking like he did in Denver when he got fired. Kind of looking like Tom Brady, who kept all these people's jobs, and Bill Belichick. We've seen plenty of, you know, cast-offs and spin-offs that aren't usually as good as the original. Whether it's TV or whether it's football coaches, a lot of the same stuff applies. Then it's the Buffalo Bills for the mega game to determine who that best team in the AFC is. You know, the Miami Dolphins want to have something to say about that. But again, I think at some point they'll have implosion. Then the 49ers come to town. Again, this Chiefs offense going against the number one defense in the National Football League. 49ers and Broncos currently tied on Sunday Night Football right now. Then a bye week, Titans. And then a nice little stretch here. The Bengals, or the Jags, or the Titans first, then the Jags. Find out how good Jacksonville is. Are they a flash in the pan? Are they legit? Then it's to Los Angeles, where Patrick Mahomes is 13-0 on the road against the division. Then the world champs, the Rams. Then the Bengals. The Chiefs couldn't beat the Bengals last year in the regular season and the postseason. And then the Broncos, Texans, Seattle, Denver, and Vegas. So the schedule does open up for the Chiefs when you get to the month of December. But this next string of games is tough. I mean, it's tough. It's put up or shut up moments for the Kansas City Chiefs. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to Tom versus Mahomes. A lot of credit's going to be given to this game. A lot of acumen for this game. It's the Madden cover guys in Mahomes and Tom Brady. Let's go back inside that locker room. Brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Justin Reed, of course, he gets that big sack today. Is Steve Spagnuolo manufacturing pass rush. The guy's a nice missile. This is why Tyrann Mathieu was here, the Honey Badger, because the way he can blitz from the secondary. Anyway, here's Justin Reed.
The last drive with the Colts, what did you see there that you just couldn't get finish the job at the end there with the lead?
Yeah, you know, in this league, a lot of times football comes down to situations, and we had a situational football at the end of the game, and we came up short. I think we made too many plays, shooting ourselves in the foot, and the Colts came out and executed, and credit to them. They did a good job taking time off the clock and then going down and getting points on the board.
On that last drive, obviously, you all had the initial stop. Referee threw the flag on Chris. Did Chris tell you all why he may have been called for a personal foul?
Yeah, I mean, Chris is a veteran, and I don't really speak much on other players, but he knows what's going on. You know, we'll just have to chalk that one up, look at ourselves, and get better from it.
How frustrating was it to, as you said, shoot yourself in the foot time and time again? I mean, throughout the game, all facets of the game had their problems. Just how frustrating was that as the game wore on?
Yeah, I mean, that's the National Football League. It's a game of inches. You can't do things that beat yourselves, and you got to go out there and win. I would give a lot of credit to the Colts special teams. I think they did a hell of a job today. But we got some things. We did some good things on the field today. Just came a little bit short, and, you know, we're just going to have to go back, watch the tape, and we'll learn to move on from this and not repeat those mistakes.
You mentioned special teams. How much of those mistakes early in the game carried over to the rest of the game?
I think that mentally this team has a good fortitude to where, you know, when bad things happen, we're able to move on to the next play. It was just, you know, last week whenever we were able to turn the tide on the game, and, you know, this week, that's just how the NFL goes sometimes. So I don't think that this is anything that's going to be detrimental to us as a program, to the mentality of the locker room. I think we're all still hungry to be successful, and we're just going to be chopping at the bit after we watch this tape to get ready for our next opponent.
What was Andy's message to you guys after the game?
Just to stay consistent. A lot of the same things. We know what we did. We had opportunities to win this game, and we just came up short. So in order to win in this league, you gotta win those inches and be successful.
Blitzes that Spags was able to put together for you guys today?
I thought a lot of them were very effective. I thought that we were able to confuse their offensive line, but that's Coach Spags' specialty, you know, having guys come from all over. So that was part of the good things that we did.
Hey, Justin Reed and the defense did a nice job today. The Colts, 19 first downs. The Chiefs actually had 20, but total yardage. The Colts were held to 259 yards. You're saying, well, how do they win? Good question. Chiefs averaged 5.2 yards per play. The Colts, 3.8 yards per play. Wasn't good for the Colts. Held them 82 yards rushing. Time of possession was different. 6 minutes more for the Colts. Prolonging drives. Of course, that penalty by Chris Jones was a costly penalty for the Kansas City Chiefs. But the defense did their jobs. 5 sacks. This was the 19th ranked defense coming in this game. It's only going to go up from here. They were 12th in the NFL with 5 sacks. That's going to go up with the 5 sacks they had today, getting them from all directions, from the edge, from the inside linebacker, from the secondary, getting sacks from all over the place. If this defense can play like that, that was one thing that was a good sign, was the way the defense played against really top one or two running backs in the NFL and Jonathan Taylor. I thought they played well. And just the offense sputtered, or the Colts don't win this game. They don't win it. Amendola makes his kicks. They don't win it. But these are the tough games. 17 points by this offense. You expect more from the way that they usually play, what we're usually used to seeing. But I'll say this. If you can get this defense to play like this the rest of the year, sky's the limit. Again, when you think of Josh Allen and the credit he gets from the Bills, you know, last year he had the number one defense in the NFL. You know how much easier it is to be quarterback when your defense is number one in the NFL? Points per drive, they were first. Total defense first. But yet the Chiefs made them look like clowns in the postseason. That 13 seconds, Grim Reaper. Cut their hearts out. But can you imagine Mahomes with the number one defense? I mean, it's going to be a long, long time until the defense gets to that place. But they can be a top 15 defense, which I think they can. A lot of youth. Love the way the linebackers are playing. And that's with Willie Gay suspended. Darius Harris, 13 tackles today. Stepping in for Willie Gay. How about that? How about a little credit to Darius Harris? He seemed to be just flying out on that football field, and he looked great tonight.
You and I talked about Nick Bolton, how unbelievable he's looked early in the season.
2 sacks for him.
Juan Thornhill looked very good. There are encouraging signs on the defensive side, especially from younger playmaking positions.
Yeah, no question about it. I thought the defense looked fresh. That's one part that actually was a good sign. That was something good that was there. Darius Harris spoke after the game. Sounds of the game brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Here's Darius.
All right, thanks, Brad. I got Darius Harris here. He made his first start, obviously a bright spot. An opportunity with Willie Gay Jr. and that suspension. How do you feel like this first start was for you?
Everything was good, though. Obviously, I would have loved to get the win, but you know, overall, we competed, and you know, it was a play that we left out there on the field. But I mean, they made plays also. We just got to come back in next week and get better as a team on all three phases. But overall, I feel like we played good. We just got to finish out with the win.
And how devastating is this loss? Obviously, there's a lot of expectations with you guys starting 2-0, coming here against a team that was winless. Is this something that, you know, knocks you backwards much, or you guys kind of feel like you have the leadership to kind of battle through?
Oh yeah, we got good leaders on our team to make sure we don't focus on this for too long. We just got to learn from it and move on to the next team and just build off this, understand where we made our mistakes at, and learn from them and fix it before the next game.
All right, thanks for your time.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Darius Harris looked good. Red. You might say, well, who's Darius Harris? Dude has a Super Bowl ring from the Chiefs. Like, he was on bouncing around from practice squads, injured player. He actually carries a ring with him. So he's got one. Darius Harris has the Super Bowl ring, but he was all over the place. 13 tackles today. Again, I thought the linebackers looked good today. And the defense as a whole. Carlos Dunlap, when he got around that edge, that looked like the Carlos Dunlap of old, didn't it, Jed? I mean, just the way that he moved around that, I was like, whoa. Like, you can see why they made a move. Now, keep in mind, that's your Melvin Ingram. That's your Melvin Ingram. Mm-hmm. Who do you think's better, Carlos Dunlap or Melvin Ingram? It's, their stats are going to be very comparable at the end of the year.
I would probably say Carlos Dunlap will have better overall numbers.
The active player list for most sacks, Von Miller, head of the list, 117. Number eight on the list, one behind Aaron Donald, Carlos Dunlap.
Well, and I think, to your point, talking about the, I don't know, what you saw from the defense today, I think is very encouraging. I think that you and I both would agree that Matt Ryan isn't his MVP form, and Jonathan Taylor is one of the best running backs in the NFL.
His guy code is MVP. Go ahead.
No, I just mean, though, they're not the most dynamic offense, but still, when you see the Chiefs go out and do what they did today against an offense that does have weapons and does have, you know, players that are, you know, need to be feared, I think that that's definitely an encouraging side. Granted, yes, of course, you wanted to see a better performance from the offensive side and, of course, from the special team side. But if you're looking for positives as a Chiefs fan, I think everything you saw from the defensive side is definitely gravy, at least for today's performance.
You know what, Jed? I'll put it this way. You know, holding Jonathan Taylor 3.8 yards per carry, that's encouraging.
You mean when you hold down the best running back to less than 4 yards?
That's the highest priced offensive line in football.
Oh, I see.
The Colts. Again, that's a good thing. All right, two-thirds of it, not good. Special teams, terrible. Offense, kind of sputtered. The Chiefs had no running game.
Well,
no running game whatsoever. They just could not run the football. Clyde ends up with 0 yards. I thought they just looked off sync. They looked off kilter. The game plan wasn't good. So offense, defense, we could say, no, offense and special teams the worst. That gets the F.
Mm-hmm.
A big one. Defense, give them credit, man. 5 sacks.
For sure. And I think it's one of the things that you and I were talking about when we were just watching the game. I mean, to me, the Chiefs' offensive line, especially on the tackle position, Orlando Brown, and on the right side, that to me has been the biggest concern if you're looking at things that moving forward that could be roadblocks for what the team wants to try and do. To me, that was the biggest issue today, and the Colts took advantage of it. But again, if you're looking at the positives, think about the defense and how well they played. Think about the fact that they were down one of their starting middle, you know, linebackers. I think that there are very encouraging signs on the defensive side that this could be a top, 12 defense?
I hope so. And keep in mind, last year they were 1-2. Rough start. Then 2-2, 2-3, 3-3, 3-4. I mean, it took a while before they got on the run. Then they got on a run. But the bottom line is, you want to win games like this because eventually, I mentioned, look at, they get Tom Brady, they get Josh Allen, they get the number one defense in the NFL, the 49ers, got the world champs, got Joe Burrow. I mean, you do have, and Russell Wilson twice. I mean, you do have games, and you don't want to throw games like this away because you're going to need it coming down the stretch. We'll take our last timeout of the night. We come back away from the quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, next.
You're listening to the Arrowhead Pride Postgame Show, presented by Andy's Frozen Custard. Tune in Mondays at 7:30 for our weekly conversation with Derek Johnson on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio. Welcome back to the Arrowhead Pride Postgame Show, brought to you by Andy's Frozen Custard. Andy's Cookie Casanova Jackhammer is back just for the new year. Hurry in for hot fudge, warm cookies, and frozen custard. Here's Jay Binkley.
Chiefs lose today, 2017. Man, I go for some of that custard, to be quite honest with you, Jen. Got to go cookie dough, though. Got to go cookie dough in the custard. Chiefs lose today. By the way, the Broncos down 7-0 to the traveling 49ers today. The Chiefs will get their shot at the 49ers later this season and 2 more shots at the Broncos. Who's going to be a contender and who's going to be a pretender? Text line 913-586-7610. Jay Southland Tow Service text line brings up the fact that next week, the Bills and Ravens. It's actually a great game, a noon game. That's a nice, let's hold on to that game. CBS, Bills at the Ravens. That to me, as CDOT was talking today, he does some national stuff and everything. He was talking about, you know, the pressure's on to step up. Can the Bills, you know, go on the road and win in Miami? Didn't happen. Can the Ravens, you know, go to New England? Can they win the game? They did. Like, how serious are the Ravens? This is a team that was actually pretty good last year, got written off because they had more injuries than anybody in the NFL for like the last decade. And like people were talking about Harbaugh being coach of the year, eventually caught up to him in the Ravens, but how good are they going to be? Like, they're the ones not talked about in the playoff picture in the AFC that, you know, would like something to say about the playoff picture in the AFC. Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, threw a pick today. He had had the third longest streak in Chiefs history for attempts without an interception. Spoke today. This audio brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Here's the quarterback, Patrick Mahomes.
Let's take you back out to Indianapolis and hear from the Chiefs quarterback.
Simple case of just a lot of self-inflicted wounds in this game, if you will, and that just led to the loss. Just how frustrating was it to just kind of keep shooting yourself in the foot, as Justin Reeves was saying?
Yeah, I mean, we just didn't play good enough, especially on the offensive side of the ball, starting with me. Obviously, we missed some kicks and stuff like that, but at the end of the day, we had multiple opportunities to score. So, I mean, we had to find ways to get the ball in the end zone, and that starts with me. We can't just get yards. We got to be able to get in the end zone when we're down there.
The offensive line, I know there's a little struggle there. How did you assess what was going on between the offensive line? I know they have a good defensive front, but how did you assess that matchup that was going on?
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of money in that defensive front. They got a lot of great players. So, I mean, obviously, I got to go back and watch the film. I thought they battled, and it's my job to get the ball out of my hand. And I felt like I was holding a little too long in certain situations, and I got to be better in that instance. And I think I got better as the game went on, but two slow starts in a row, you got to get better in the first half.
Patrick, obviously, before halftime, there was a little discussion between you and Eric Bieniemy. What took place there?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I wanted to go try to score. I mean, that's just who I am. We were in a tough situation. I believe it was like second or third and 20 or and something like that. And probably the smart decision was to just take it. We had got the ball out of half. Let's just go to halftime. But I'm always going to be wanting to score. And, I mean, I pretty much just said, let me have a chance at it. And then he was just like, let's get back in our locker room and we'll get something going for the next half. And I guess I don't know if that's an altercation, but I mean, that was the end of the conversation.
Was that specifically just the run call, or did you want to try a Hail Mary at the end there?
No, yeah, it was just it was the run because I tried to go deep the first two times, and obviously they were in a deep coverage, and I was just I was like, I'm not going to turn it over. I'll get it out, try to get to the sideline and get us a chance to kick a field goal. But I mean, it's a tough situation. I mean, I'm on the field. I'm playing. I want to always try to go score. That's who I am. But that's their job, is to make sure they manage the game the right way. And I mean, we had multiple chances to win after that. We just got to be better in the second half.
You talked about a lot of times just need to be better. What needs to be better offensively?
We got to gel all together. I mean, it starts with me. I mean, there were certain throws I was putting on guys' back hips instead of in front of them. There were certain situations where we were just barely off. If it was a D lineman got around my feet and I missed Justin Watson, or if it was a throw at the end of the game where I could have maybe tried to put it in front of Juju and it gets tipped up for a pick. I mean, it's just little things like that. Whenever you're playing a tough game like that, you have to execute at a higher level, and we have to learn from it. I mean, our schedule gets no easier. We have a hard game, Sunday Night Football against Tampa next week with a great defense. So we have to get better quickly, and if we don't, we don't want these L's to start piling up. We want to make sure we get back on that winning train.
Patrick, it seems like the D ball hasn't been there as much as it was in years past. What are you seeing from defenses? Are they playing you any differently than how they have been?
Yeah, I mean, they're playing deep. I mean, that's their goal, is to make us drive the field, make us execute. I had the one in the first drive. I missed Marquez. I got to hit that, especially in games like this. If I hit that throw, it's probably a whole different ball game. But other than that, I mean, they played back the entire game. They let us drive the field, and they stopped us in the red zone. I'm sure that was their game plan going in. They executed it well.
Special teams had a few ups.
Growing pains with the new group, or is this stretch beyond anything?
I mean, I don't expect any growing pains. I mean, you obviously have new players, and you don't know how everybody's going to respond in tough situations. So you know we can learn from it. But for me, I'm always going out there with the expectation that we're going to win.
Patrick, special teams earlier had a few mistakes. You being on the offensive side of the ball, how much does that carry over to the rest of the game?
You can't let it carry over. I mean, you have to just kind of respond. I mean, even though we had the early mistakes and stuff like that. I mean, we trust those guys in those positions. That's why we keep going back to them. For us as offense, we got to make it where those little mistakes don't cause a loss. I mean, we had multiple chances to get in the end zone. If we get in the end zone one time and so don't stall out in the red zone that second half, the game's over. So, I mean, it's just with the defense plays like this, the defense plays like they did today and they've played this whole season, we got to win these football games.
This guy's young. Were you able to talk to him after he had a couple mistakes?
Yeah, I talked to him. I mean, we have full trust in this guy. He's talented. He made one mistake. I mean, at the end of the day, he made one mistake that ended up causing a touchdown. But I think he'll make a lot of plays in that Chiefs uniform that will be positive for us. And so we're going to keep going back to him and keep giving him chances to make plays.
A couple more.
In the second half, when you guys kicked the field goal on fourth and goal from the two, is there a conversation there? I mean, are you trying to push the goal for that?
Yeah, I mean, I try most times. They did a good job of stopping us a couple of times there at the goal line. I had the one where it kind of slipped out of my hand trying to get to Kels real fast. And in certain situations, you have to just take the points and when a game's going like this. And I think you see that sometimes. I mean, the defense plays like they're playing right now. I mean, I have full trust the offense is going to figure it out. So, I mean, if that's the positive I see in this game is defense is playing really good football. And the offense, we have to learn to get better as the season goes on so we can win a lot of football games.
Were you feeling the momentum kind of shifting from time to time? Obviously, you look at the fake field goal that you all tried earlier and then coming out of the half again. You went for it the first time on the fourth down before going forward on the goal line. I mean, do you all feel the sense of the game shifting at any time during that point?
I didn't. I mean, the way our defense was playing, I mean, you were just relying on them. You're just trying to find ways to put points on the board. I mean, they've done a great job these first few weeks. They did a great job today. And they have players too, and we gave them too many chances, and we didn't put it in the end zone, and they made plays at the end of the day. So I didn't feel the momentum really swing until after they scored the last touchdown. I mean, we have to be better. I mean, that's all I can say as an offense. We have to be better.
How do you assess what this team is? If week one, come out dominant, or the team that's still struggling to figure out who you are?
I don't know if you can assess how the team is yet. I just want to find ways to win at the end of the day. We obviously aren't playing the way we wanted to these last 2 weeks on offense, but we've been battling, and the guys battling. You can see them battling to the very end, and so you love that. But you got to find. I mean, our schedule. We have a tough schedule, so we have to find a way to win these football games. They're going to be tough contests, and so we'll see how we respond. I'm excited to see how the guys respond.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I'm excited to see next week Sunday Night Football. We'll be sitting right here watching the game, Mahomes and Brady. You'll hear a bunch about that. Can't wait to see how they respond. So what you do? It's how you respond. How are you going to respond to today? You know, they were good enough to win that game today, but they didn't. You know, they responded last year. They came out and they won the game. We'll see what happens. See if they can clean up the special teams, because it was bad all the way around for the special teams today. Offense didn't look on sync. The defense, I thought there's something to build on there. The defense looked really, really good today. Big thanks to Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief, arrowheadpride.com, for joining us. Thank you for listening. We'll see you guys next weekend. Good night, Jed. Jed Marshall, the producer. Good night.
Good night, Jay.